You are listening to BensTorah.com.
We're going to talk about two halachas today. One will just be a side point, and one will be the main point. The side point is ha'arama. Ha'arama meaning, are you allowed to trick? Are you allowed to play games? How could you play games? Well, let's say you have a hammer. And the hammer is on coffee table in your living room, not in your way. Except your wife is angry at you that you left the hammer on the coffee table in the living room. So we said that that's not considered litzarah. It's a klishim lach to l'isser. So it's only mutter to move litzarah, makom litzarah, gufo, but it's not in your way. Pikuach nefesh is definitely dochas shabbos, yes. That is the case. So barring the pikuach nefesh concern, I have another eitzah. Even if your wife will only injure you severely, but won't kill you, I still have an eitzah for you. The eitzah is the following. Well, this is the shaila. Could you say, my back is itchy. I could really use a hammer maybe to scratch my back. Is your back really itchy? I mean, it's always a little itchy. But could you say, you know what? Maybe I'll have the coconut that I was planning to have for Rosh Hashanah. I'll have that coconut 5 days earlier because my wife wants this hammer outside off the coffee table. So let me take it and move the tzarech gufo because I'm allowed to use a hammer for a coconut. Mm-hmm. But I'm really playing a game. Really, really, really deep down, if you look in the bottom of my heart, what does HaKadosh Baruch Hu see there? Yodea Machshavos knows that I'm doing it only because I want to get it off the coffee table and it's also to move. So I'm just creating a facetious, you know, a fake front, a veneer, to enable me to move it for my convenience. Let's look at the Talmud in Avron. When the top line in the Ramah says, in the Shulchan Aruch says that of course when you come to a klishim latal isr mecham letzel tahayna she'enot tzarich letatul elam pnei sheyari sheyishaber or sheyganev sham aser. If you want to move it for, you know, its purpose, for the purpose of protecting the tool, you're not allowed to move it. Look at the Magen Avram, a tremendous kul in the top of the Magen Avram. Avam Yicham Litzel, the Isa B'Yerushalmi Perkei debates. I'll tell you what the Yerushalmi says in a moment. It doesn't say it here, but I'll tell you soon. Kishem Echashiv Alav L'Tashmish, when you think about it for a Tashmish, meaning L'Tzarech Gufo, Mutter L'Taltalo Afilu Iker Kavanoso Mecham Litzel. Wow, tremendous kula. Your intent is really to protect it from getting rusty outside. Your kavanah is to move it for its own benefit, which we say is absolutely awesome. However, you could be mechashe. What's the story in Yerushalmi? What is this based on? Let me tell you the story. The story goes like this. The Yerushalmi is talking about they have fishermen's nets. Fishermen's nets are clearly a kli shemalach to l'isser. It's a kli, because even though it's just a net, but it's a kli because it has a shape and a form and a tashmish. It's a kli. Malach to l'isser because fishing is tzad, So therefore it's kli shemalach to l'isser. Now, apparently, they got ruined in the sun. It could be if they're very wet and you leave it in the hot sun to bake, maybe the strings get hardened and they could crack. So it's a kli shemalach to l'isser that is, you want to protect it from the sun. That's mecham l'tzel. Says the Yerushalmi, you know what you could do? You could say, mechashiv olav lignune. Lignune is to take a nap on. You're going to fold them up, take this fisherman's net, this fisher's net, and you'll make a little pile, use it as a pillow. Is that really what you want to do? No, you just want to get it out of the sun so it doesn't get ruined. Says Yerushalmi, that's okay. Ah, that's the source for this Magen Avram, who comes up with this, again, incredible kula in Hilchos Mokza, that we could really enable ourselves to move whatever we... again, Kilisha Malach Tal Isser, but it's only Mutter Litzarech Mekom El Gufo, but I could engineer...
Find the use.
Litzarech Gufo. What the Magen Avraham doesn't speak about, but I think should be equally Mutter, is let's say, again, hammer's on the coffee table. You don't need the room on the coffee table. So let's... I have an idea. Go sit by the coffee table... Take yourself a cup of coffee, sit on the couch, you should take a sip you're reading the Stein Mikra with your coffee, and then at some point you want to turn the page in the Chumash, so you put your coffee down. Uh-oh, there's a hammer on your coffee table. So what did you do? Again, you engineered a scenario, not Litzarech Gufo, but Litzarech Mekomo. In my mind, I don't see why there should be a chiluk Can anyone see why there should be a chiluk, why we should only allow this haram l'tzor gufa, but not l'tzor makomo? I don't see why there should be a chiluk. So that's an important kula. However, this kula does have one limitation that the Aruch HaShulchan on this Sif and the Shulchan Aruch comments. He quotes the Yerushalmi, and he tells you the story. East of Yerushalmi, in two places, Mitzudas, Hayuprusas, Becham, Miskalkulim, Penachom, and they are, of course, Malachtim L'Isser, which is also Mecham L'Tzel, the Shalu L'Rav, and in the Yerushalmi, they ask the Rebbe, Mala Asos, with these fishing nets that are getting ruined by the sun. V'amar Lehem, Sheyechashru Atol Anichon Tachas Roshayan, and that would be considered Tzorach Kufa. V'lamad Mizeh, tells us the Aruch HaShulchan, Shekol Shem Malachtim L'Isser, V'rotz L'Tatol B'Shvil Shalo Yiganev, O Mecham L'Tzel, Im Yachol Limtzo Bahem Dover, Shemutel Ish Tamish B'Shabbos, Yachshul Lasos V'Asa Kein. So far, everything's what we said, and now the Aruch HaShulchan adds a chiddush, a little bit of a chumra. He limits this a little bit. V'Yafal Gav Dizel Harama, even though it's Harama, Mikomoko Mutter, look at the last word, which I underlined. Mutter Bishvil Hafsid. Interesting. If the whole source for this din is the case of the Yerushalmi, and the case of the Yerushalmi is not just that you were wanting to move something for random purposes, but it was for a purpose of protecting the fishing nets so they don't get ruined. So there you have a limitation. It's only the Tzorech Hafsid. So let's come back to our case with the coffee table. When you want to move the hammer, because you, again, if your wife is going to kill you, that's a Hafsid. She's going to hurt you
even a little bit.
So okay, it's so also Shlombai, is that a Hafsid? No. I hear that. That you could argue that. I think that's a fair. That might be a fair argument. But there has to be an overriding concern. But maybe you're right. Maybe the Shlom Bayis would be considered a Hafsid of sorts. But there has to be that overriding concern that pushes us to allow us to be makel on this harama. So that's what you see, a limitation. So we have a kula, but the kula has its limitation
too. Like if you picked up the hammer to scratch your back and you didn't scratch your back, it wouldn't be okay, because he says viaseke.
Thank you, I didn't notice that. Yes, excellent diuk. I didn't notice that. You have to actually lift it up to scratch your back and scratch your back. Thank you. I didn't notice that. Okay. This is only by Klisha Malachtul Isser, which anyway has a head to the Tzorach Makoma Gufa. You're just engineering that there should be a Tzorach Gufa Makoma. Correct. No, if it's a rock, you wouldn't have this head. If it's a stick, you would not have this head. If it's money, you would not have this head. Right? You cannot use money to, unless you need to scratch yourself with something, your nails are short, you can't take a quarter and scratch your
eyes.
Kicking is different. I don't want to get into kicking.
Among an Avram argue with the Rambam? It sounds like it doesn't say anything about the Yasekin.
You never know with the Mungin Avram. As we pointed out many times, Mungin Avram writes incredibly succinctly. So by virtue of the fact that he's quoting the Yerushalmi, it could be that Lichten Dem included that is the limitation that it's only the Tzara.
It's a major limitation.
Yeah, but when you deal with Mungin Avram, he writes so tersely. Again, every line of the Mungin Avram has 10, 15 lines of Machzis HaShekel and Prima Gadlim to explain it. So that's why Mungin Avram is almost, I don't want to say he's a Rishon, but every line of the Mungin Avram, every citation and acronym that the Mungin Avram adds, we could build Shiurim on. So that's why we have to, I'm a little nervous to say. You might be right, you might be wrong, I don't know. Okay, that's the end of the first sugya. Let's now talk about the main point that I want to talk about. We've mentioned in passing the halacha that muktzeh is not asur be touching, like all the children think, it's only asur be moving, as we intelligent people have seen. Let's look at the Ramah who says this inside. Look at the Ramah on top. Kol muktzeh, hagah. This is the end of this Ramah in Hilchis, in Shinches, if Gimel. If it's easier for you in the computer print, it's the bottom of the page. Kol muktzeh, eino asur ela bitiltulo. Aval benegia ba'alma, if you just touch it, she'eino menadnado, you're not menadnado, you don't shake it, shari. V'lachayin, therefore he's going to list two heterim. V'lachayin. If you have a candelabra, I don't know why he says beis haknesses, that's meaningless. If you have a candelabra that has candles on it, even though it's very muktzah, you're still allowed to touch it. Obe tanur shadolik boesh, if you have a furnace during the winter, you're allowed to touch the furnace. Obviously, if it's part of the house, nothing's going to move. But presumably, even if it's a movable furnace, you'd still barbecue it and such, you'd be allowed to touch it. V'chein, another halacha, mutar likach davar heter hamunach al davar muktzah. If you have a pile of muktzah, and on top of that pile of muktzah you have something that you want, So you could take, let's say you have your, on your night table, you have your wallet, your credit cards, your key fob, and right on top of that, you put your tzitzis. When you went to sleep, you put your tzitzis on top of all that muktzah stuff. So you're allowed to take your tzitzis on, off the muktzah stuff. Motalikach davar heter hamunach al dvar muktzah. V'chein, okay, that we're not, we'll talk about that next week. Blowing muktzah with your mouth, with your breath, that we'll talk about next week. So now, what is this? Based on this, Rama is based on a Mordechai, two Mordechais. I want to see those two Mordechais inside. The Mordechai, when I was looking at this, but on the Bar Ilan, whenever you have a, whenever you, the Bar Ilan programs where I get all the text here that I cut and paste from, on each sefer you could press a button that says biography. That tells you a little biography about that person. I, some things I never knew about the Mordechai. I wrote it out for. The Mordechai was killed al Kiddush Hashem with his five daughters. His wife and five daughters were killed in Nuremberg, Germany.
Wow.
They were killed al Kiddush Hashem. And of course, we know the story, the Maram Rotenberg, we know the famous story that Maram Rotenberg was taken captive by the emperor, Emperor Rudolf, I think was his name, Rudolf. Rudolf of Germany, I think, yeah.
Well, and it wasn't a Germany then, it was kind of just a lot of
Austria, whatever it was then.
Little places.
So Rudolf, of course, took the Maram Rotenberg captive. And that's the story with Maram Paskin about himself. He was the God of Hador. Maram Rotenberg was the God of Hador. That he was passing about himself that I'm not allowed to be redeemed because they asked a tremendous ransom. And he said, based on the mission in Gittin, that you're not allowed to redeem a captive for more than his value because it's just going to machlokas. Why? One of the reasons that it might just encourage them, you know, encourage this to happen again. So therefore, he was never indeed ransomed, even though the Jews were able to amass the money.
Wow.
And who is the Maram's Talmud? The Rush. That's the point in history that the Rush moved from Germany, from Ashkenaz to Spain, because he knew if they took the Maram, why? Because he was the God of Hadar. Well, who's next in line? Me, the Rush. So that's why he ran away. That was the point when the Rush, you know, transferred, which is a gigantic moment in history, when he moved from Ashkenaz to Sfarad, and along with the Rush, I don't know if the Mordechai also had to run away, but I guess he didn't have time to run away, because I guess they got him, and they killed him along with his children. I don't know exactly how long that was after Maram Rotenberg's imprisonment was, but that's just interesting to know.
That's the First Crusade?
Okay, this is later.
Later.
Yeah, First Crusades were earlier. Okay, Kosev Rabbeinu Meir. Why is this important? Because the Mordechai is quoting Rabbeinu Meir. What's the story I just told you? He was the Talmud of Maharami Rotenberg. What does the word Maharam stand for? Moreno Harav?
Meir.
So who is he probably quoting? He's probably, I think, I'm assuming this is the Maharami Rotenberg that he's quoting. The reason why I'm not sure is because if you didn't say the other thing, he also, his brother-in-law is Rav Meir HaKohen, that goes to Maimonides, so it could be he's quoting his brother-in-law. But I'm assuming if we have a Stam Rav Meir in the Mordechai, I'm assuming he's talking about the Maharami Rotenberg. I'm assuming. So Kosev Rabbeinu Meir, let's assume the Maram Rotenberg Paskin. Im chefetz oshum davar munach al hamaos. You have an item that's resting on money. Or al shar muktzah b'shabes. Vutzrach losu chefetz. You need the thing that's resting atop the muktzah. And even if the muktzah stuff is like money, why does he say money and not a hammer? Because if it was a hammer, then of course you could take the thing off the hammer because
you can use the
it's
hammer.
The tzarech makomo. But when we have something like money below, which is not does not have a head for tzarech makomo, so then maybe you can't move it, or you have to be worried that it might move, it might shift, the money might shift. Mutalit lo sham. Sounds like even if the is that even if the money will shift a little bit? Let's see. Ki dvar hamukta eno asur rakle taltalo mi makom lamakom avaliga ba mutter. Things that are mukta are only asur to touch, not to. I'm sorry, only asur to move. There's no issue in touching. Similarly, the Mordechai says elsewhere, that was a Mordechai in Be'ah, the beginning of Be'ah, this is a Mordechai now in Hilchot Shabbos, Gam Rabbeinu Meir, same Harami Rotenberg presumably, but a different Shaila. Hiteliga b'Shabbos ba'amad shalifnei Aron HaKodesh. If you ever go to Chassidus Shtibel, as opposed to Arshul, for example, you'll notice that in front of the, by the Chazan's Amad, they have a little, the Neiros, right? They have a little Neiros. V'haneiros dolkos omnos alav, you're allowed to touch that Amad, as long as you don't move the amud or move the candelabra, that's fine. Even though it's a basis for the candlesticks, which are, and therefore it's a tashrish muktza. Even if you would touch the muktza atzmo, eino asa liga ki im kishem inanu. The only issue for touching it is if you're going to cause it to shake, but not touching. Touching itself is not asr. So we have two Mordechais, which are the source for our Ramah, and life is wonderful. if you don't, if you're not happy enough, hold on one second, that this is the Rama. The Shulchan Aruch says at the end of our Simon, Shin Ches, we're in Sif Gimel, if you look 40 Sifim, I told you, I don't know, I think I told you that this is a very, very long Simon. It has about 48 or 52 Sifim. So if you go all the way to the end of the Simon, and Simon Sif Beis is a very short Shulchan Aruch, Dover Shu Mukza Motiligabo. You're allowed to touch Mukza. So you can't even move a little bit. That's another sugya. Could you move part of something? If so, the big thing won't move, this is talking about by a dead body, of course. If a person, could they shut the eyes? Where you're not moving the body from location A to location B, you're just moving something, keeping it all in the right place, but just moving something on it, like moving the eyes of a dead body. So that's what the last two words of the Shulchan Aruch says, that you can't move it, I feel mitzvah, but we're not going to talk about that. That's sure. Not our sugya. Our sugya is that the Shulchan Aruch is paskening, as long as you don't move mukzah, you just touch it, it's mutter.
So if I forgot my talis in the car on Shabbos, or I need the car, assuming that the light will not come out, can I open the door? And
okay, so you're asking a different question. Opening the door of the car is not like Mr. Gold is saying. Rather, opening the, if we don't have any electricity problems, we don't have any light problems, right. Moving the car, there's only a klisha malachtel isser at worst. Klisha Malachtel Isser, at worst, and therefore you're allowed to move a Klisha Malachtel Isser Tzarech Mekomo. And therefore, again, if there would be no electricity, again, buying an electricity, you would be permitted to open the car door to reach your, to get your talis, to get your chumash, to get your sitter from your car.
Just not your lights. The car has sensors everywhere. Hmm? If, even if it's not light, the lights inside the car, it's good. Unless the battery's gone, it's going
to. What?
On a new car. I said that in principle. Yes, I have an old car like you have.
Your,
you know,
clothes. Your clothes are
under the wall.
Under the wall?
Wallet.
Under your wallet. Okay, that's going to be a different Shiloh. That's going to be a Shiloh of buses. Buses is going to be complicated, and we're going to get there in a few weeks, so we're not ready for that yet.
Why is the car have its own kiss? Why is the car.
You're asking a good question.
Well, what's the question?
Could a car be Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kiss?
It's not a car.
Well, what is the Chisaron Kiss?
It's a junkie car.
Well, what is the Chisaron Kiss?
It's an expensive, it's a $10,000, $20,000, $30,000, $40,000, $50,000, $60,000, $70,000 item. So then, maybe it should be Mukta Machmas Chisaron Kiss, and therefore it should be Mas or even Letzarach Makoma. That's a good question.
Might,
it can't be, because it's not. It's not delicate in the sense of. Delicate.
It's not damaged.
You don't want to scratch it, that's true.
But you leave it out on the
show. It's not damaged.
Let me ask you a question. If it's raining inside,
outside.
It's raining outside, and you got where you got, you got wherever you got, but instead of going in, do you want to, but you're listening to a shiur, would you just stay in your car just to finish listening to the shiur you're listening to? Right, you listen to Rabbi Orlean, Silchas Mukzah, you missed one, Rachman Litzlan, you missed one, probably because you're in like Asia on some, you know, business meeting that you just couldn't miss, and you're 26 minutes into the shiur and you have, let's say, 10 minutes left, you're not going to leave your car for those last 10 minutes. So you're using your car for other things also. You don't want something to get stolen, right? So your wife walks out with her pocketbook, she says, I don't need my pocketbook. You say, okay, sweetheart, just put it in the trunk. You're putting it, why are you using it for something else? It's not to drive somewhere. You use it for other things. You use it to hide your pocketbook, to keep stuff, you know, you're going somewhere and you have stuff. I don't think a car would be cliche It's a good idea, but I don't think that's the case. The postkim asked this question about the car door, and this is what the postkim, what I said is what the postkim do say. It's an excellent question. But we're really not up to the punchline yet. We have to get to the punchline. The punchline is going to begin with the shaila of the Trumas HaDeshen, and life is going to become not as rosy in just a moment. The Trumas HaDeshen, of course, is the one of the most fun Rishonim, late Rishonim, and that's because the tradition is that he asked his own shailas, and therefore, of course, some people say that you can't rely on the Trumas HaDeshen as much as other tshuvas, because there was no siyata d'shmaya of HaKadosh Baruch Hu guiding his hands and writing the answers, because it wasn't shailas that were actual practical shailas, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu guides the hands of the poskim to pass in the shailas that arrive on their doorstep, and here he just fabricated the shailas and made out, and of course, the answers. On the other hand, you could go the opposite. From the fact that Shumas HaDesh himself wrote the shailas, you could learn not only from the answers, you could learn from the shaila, because sometimes Ramosha asks, somebody sends a shot to Ramosha, it could be a dodo head. Ramosha, yeah, he made himself, somebody says, yeah, I'm in a good Ramosha. You asked a stupid question. Ramosha was nice enough to give you an answer. There's a wonderful answer. It doesn't mean you're smart because you asked the Shaila. But the Truma Sadeshan, that's not the case. The Shaila itself is written by the Truma Sadeshan, according to many, I think there's a discussion about some other historians, but that is a traditional understanding of the Truma Sadeshan's Shaila. So let's see the Truma Sadeshan's Shaila. Sakin Sheesh Ben Maos Munachim Ateva. You have a, again, remember Scrooge McDuck, Donald Duck's uncle. He has his money bags, and he has the money bags inside his chest. I want to make sure if anybody's, you know, robber comes into my house and he opens up his chest, I don't want him to see bags of money. I want him to see, you know, undershirts. Can I put my undershirts on top of the bags of money? Or am I allowed to take my undershirts off the bags of money? It seems to be mutter. And he brings the Mordechai that we just learned. Mishum Rabbeinu Meir, that's the Mordechai we just said. Okay, as long as you can't move Moksa, but you could take things off Moksa, you could touch Moksa. Let's go to the next paragraph. Lufisa, I have a kasha asked the Shumas Hadeshin on this heter of touching Moksa. Tzarech Lis Yashev, we have to reconcile this Yerushalmi that's quoted by the Rush, skip a few words, to Kofim Kli al Beitza. The Yerushalmi says you're allowed to put a Kli. Right? We know that a Beitza Shanal de Biyamtev, the first mission in Beya, is Muktza. It's known that it's very Muktza. And nevertheless, you're allowed to put a Kli on top of it, Kadei Shalosh Tishaber, but concludes the Yerushalmi, and I underlined it, Vitzar, I don't think it's the Yerushalmi, Vitzarech Lizaher Shelo Yiga HaKli BeBeitza. But make sure that the kli that you're cupping over, the bowl that you're cupping over the egg, to prevent it from breaking, make sure that kli doesn't touch the egg.
Yeah, but the egg's round. If you touch it at all, it'll move.
Va'amai, asks the Mordechai. Why is it usher to touch the beitza? Hashari liga b'mokza afilu b'yadayim. You're allowed to touch mokza not only with a bowl, but even with your yadayim, as we've been saying from two Mordechais, two Maran Maratenbergs. You're allowed to touch it. V'docha glomer, don't tell me what that the Korman is saying. The cave of the beitza d'Avraham eskalgahu, eggs are round, and they could easily be, that even if you just touched it, they're going to start wobbling. It's definitely going to, you just touch it, it's going to shift, it's going to, don't make such a chiluk. Don't say that. Rather, what's the chiluk? Turn the page. Now we're going to look at the Trumas Hadeshin. Remember, the Trumas Hadeshin is one of the fathers of Hilchas Ashkenaz. Right? We have the Maharils and the Trumas Hadeshin. These are the stuff of which Ashkenazi Psak is made of. Elinir Lechalek says the Trumas Hadeshin. Again, what does he have? He has a contradiction between, on one hand, the Maharami Rottenberg, who said in numerous places you could touch Muktz. On the other hand, the Yerushalmi, who sounds like you can't put a Kli touching the egg, which is Muktza, Stira, right? Nira Lechalek? Not what you're thinking. To Hassan, by the egg, Keva Dhanach HaSakli Ala Beitza Hi Litzorech Ha?
Beitza.
Why are you cupping the bowl over the egg? Because it's Litzorech to protect a Dvar Muktza. So you're doing it, you're touching the muktzah tzorech muktzah. That's off limits. You're not allowed to touch muktzah if it's litzorech muktzah.
Maybe protecting yourself from touching it.
Hold on. Avabanidon didon, but with our shailas, where you want to put your thing on the undershirt, so take your undershirts off the muktzah. You want to touch things. Kulu ha'hanocha v'hatashrish eno el litzorech davish eno muktzah. If I want to put my undershirts on the money bag and take my shirt, if I want to take my undershirts off the money bags, I want my undershirt. Right. If I want to take my tzitzis off the wallet and off my wallet, I want the tzitzis. If I want to touch whatever, you know, if I have to touch the car because I need to, again, let's talk about a truck, which won't shift in your weight. I have to, I want to lean against the truck because I'm tired, I'm walking in the sun. Or I need to tie my shoe, I need to lean on something, so I, lean against the truck, because it won't move with your weight, a car could. But I'll lean against the trunk to, hold my weight so I could tie my shoe. Touching it, that's for me, that's not l'tzorech ha-truck, l'tzorech ha-mukta. L'kach, afili naga yidei hanach v'mukta shari, because it's l'tzorech davar ha-mutter. What do you have? You have a tremendous chiddush of the Trumas Hadeshin Rabosai. He says that this whole heter that we've been talking about since the beginning of this series in Hilchos Mukta, you're allowed to touch mukta, is only l'tzorech davar Hamutter, but letzorech davar hamoktza is aser.
So you can't cover that.
You cannot cover the money. Correct. If somebody left a $100 bill out and he wants to make sure that it doesn't get whatever, he can't cover it over in a way that it touches. In a way that it touches, correct. In a way that it touches, right. There's a different sugya which we're not going into. Kli nita letzorach davar hamukta, that we hold lahakel tzmuter. But to touch it, that's this Yerushalmi, if it touches, it's going to be a problem.
I always understood the covering, that you shouldn't touch that egg. Just like with chametz, you cover it, so you shouldn't touch the chametz. It's not that protecting the egg. No, I don't want people to touch the egg.
Why don't you want people to touch the egg?
Because it's a muksa.
Nah, you're religious. We're worried about eggs here.
What about when you cover something for chametz?
You're right. Then I could hear. You're doing it for yourself. I hear that, sorry. Yes, right. I agree with you. Where did he get this from? The Shumas Hadasher, first of all, he got it from Svara. Secondly, we have precedent. We have precedent, as we didn't learn yet, but we mentioned in passing. We're going to learn Bez Hashem in probably 2 months. Bez Hashem. We should all be healthy and well. The sugya of Tiltul Min Hatzad. If you remember, what we mentioned this last week or 2 weeks ago, if I want to take a knife and move the pistachio shells off the table, I can't move that pistachio shells off the table if I want the pistachio shells to be protected. I can only move Tiltum and Hatzad. I can only use I have a box of quarters. They spilled all over the floor. Can I sweep them up? Well, if it's to protect the quarters, no. It's Tiltum and Hatzad, the Tzorach, Dabar HaMukta, it's Aser. If I have a piece of glass that's broke on the floor, a glass shattered on the floor, those pieces are all Mukta, there are no kids around. It's just my wife and I. I'm allowed to sweep it up. Okay, but you asked where the svar is from. The chiluk between the tzorach davar hamukta and the tzorach davar hamukta, we see. Here, the Shumas Hadasher is presented with a stira between the fact that you're allowed to touch, and on the other hand, we see Yerushalmi, you're not allowed to touch the egg. So he's saying that svar that we've seen elsewhere of the tzorach davar hamukta versus the tzorach davar hamutar could be a perfect structure to be mechalik between our shayla of all these cases where you're allowed to touch, but the egg where I'm not allowed to touch. That's what Shumas Hadeshin's suggestion.
The cover also muksa.
What?
The cover over the egg. It's muksa.
If I take a bowl and put it over an egg, that will not become muksa. If it's not touching the egg, yes. Yeah. Do we paskin like this, Shumas Hadeshin? Let's look at Rabbi Kveger. If you remember, we started with the Magen Avraham. We started with the Magen Avraham. That's where the whole shir started. Magen Avraham. I'm sorry. We started not with the Magen Avraham here. We started with the. The Rama, right? The Rama said that if you have heter hamunach al dvar muktza, you're okay. Says the Rebbe Kveger, meaning the Rama said just a blanket heter. The Rama didn't make any distinctions. When you read the Rama, we thought, great, I'm allowed to touch mukta, tremendous heter, nothing to talk about. Comes Rabbi Kveger on the Shulchan Aruch and says, wow, look at this underlined line. Dr. Korman, you want to read this loudly? Heter munach al dvar mukta, you're allowed to move it? Afilu hecha deminadneid, even if it will cause it to wobble. Why? Because who is he paskening like? He's paskening like the Shumas Hadeshin we just learned. Even if it does cause it to wobble, anyway, it's going to be for the purpose of something that's mutter.
Right.
In other words, he's not worried about it wobbling. He doesn't accept that svara. He's saying the reason why you're not allowed to cover something or touch mukta is only because it's litzorach hadavra mukta. But if it's not litzorach hadavra mukta, it's mutter. And that's how the Rama says it, plainly and simply, and therefore, B'Kveger is permitting us, even if it will wobble. Let's go to a different siman in Shulchan Aruch. Also Hilchas Mokza, but two simanim later. In Siman Shin Yod Sefav, in source number 9, the Shulchan Aruch says, Kol davar sha'asal tatlo, some things you're not allowed to move, aval mutu lichpos lev kli, you're allowed to cover it up with a kli. Like we said, uvavash lo yigabo, that's mamash the Yerushalmi that we quoted, the case of the egg, where you're not allowed to cover it in a way that touches. You can cover it, but not if it touches. Says the Taz, V'hikshar Rav HaMagid. Why is it Aser? V'chi ein mutu liga v'mukta kol she'emin aneo? So, why aren't you allowed to move it? I'm sorry, why aren't you allowed to touch it? It says that, right, it says you're not allowed to touch. Why can't you touch after you're just touching? So he gives the terror to the Shumas Hadeshin that when you're covering an egg or something like that, you're covering it for the tzorach kavra hamukta, and that's going to be aser. However, if you're covering something, moving something, touching, covering something or touching something without moving it, for davar hamutter, that's going to be fine. That's the Taz's answer. But if you look at the Mishnah Brura over there, you're going to see a surprise. That the Korban is going to like this surprise. Look at source number 11, Mishnah Brura, Siman Shin Yud, Sifkat Nechaf Beis. Mishnah Brura says, why are you not allowed to touch this mukta? Afal gav demutter li gav mukta. I thought you were allowed to touch mukta. Answers the Mishnah Brura, hacha, abeitza kai. It's talking about an egg. And we're worried that you might... shake it a little bit. What is the chilek that the Mishnah Brura is learning between the egg and all the other touchings?
The Korman principle.
The Korman principle. Not a question of are you touching it for Litzorach Davar Hamutter, Litzorach Davar Hamukta, but rather are you touching it in a way that it might wobble, move. If you're going to touch something, just touch something, and it won't move, mutter. If you're going to touch something, you know, like a little fork, and it might move, aser. Very simple. It's basically going to apply, there's a difference in halacha between circular, cylindrical, rounded, bottom-eyed objects, and square items. Shakes is a problem. Shakes in the place is also a problem. Yes, shaking in place is the same problem. Yes, it's going to shift. It's going to wobble. That itself is a risk. So what do we have here? We now have I don't know what to do. We have a gigantic, a raging machlokas. Look who the Mishnah Brura quotes. Until now, we had a Shemes HaDeshen, we had a Rebbe Kveger, we had a Taz, and all of them were saying that you're allowed to touch mukta as long as it's the Tzorach Davar HaMutter. Comes the Mishnah Brura here, and he says, no, that's not the chilek. The chilek is not why you're touching, not your motivation for touching it, but it's a question of, if you touch it, will it wobble or not? And he quotes here, Behag, Behagra, Nevi Railezeh, against the other explanation that we've been giving. Where does this idea come from? Where does this idea come from? Let's look at a Rambam. The Rambam, Einos and Kli Tachas Atanagol, it's Kalba Beitzah, you're not allowed to put a Kli underneath the egg. That's a different sugya we're not going to learn now. Aval Kofu Kli, you're allowed to put a bowl on top of an egg. Come says that it says the Ravid, Amar Avram, because it's in the Yerushalmi, the Yerushalmi says you can't touch it. And look at this Magen Mishnah. This Magen Mishnah is really the one who says out that Svara that the Korban mentioned, that the Chumash Tadesh says, I don't like. The Magen Mishnah says explicitly, Uvevachlo Yigab Beitza. The Magen Mishnah asks, why can't you touch the Beitza when you're covering it over? Lo Yadat Yatam. V'chi Hamukta Vanod, Asa Liga Behen, Kol She'enu Menanea. As long as you're not moving it, is there any problem touching it? Why can't you touch it? Havadai, there's no reason to touch mukta. Ve'asher shemi inanea habeitza ayidei hakli. You might come to make it move. And therefore, what do we have? Let's put everything that we have together. I have a summary on page 4. Can you touch mukta or not? Well, the Trumas Hadeshin, and the Taz, and the Magen Avraham, and the Kvega says, it depends what your motivation is to touching the mukta. If your motivation is the tzorach davar hamutter, you're allowed to touch mukta. If it's for whatever reason for the mukta, let's say, for example, covering over my money bags. I have a money bag and I want to cover it over so that it doesn't, right, it's not going to get stolen. But when I do it, I'm taking the undershirt and I'm putting it touching. So it's going to be just like putting a bowl on top of the eggs, and it's touching the egg. So the Trumas Hadeshin and all these Zachronim said that's going to be awesome because it's Litzorech Davar HaMokza. So I'm not touching the money, but I'm putting something to touch the money, Litzorech Davar HaMokza, Litzorech Davar HaAser. Or touching it directly if it's, for whatever reason, I'm not sure what's the case if someone would touch Mokza, Litzorech Davar HaMokza. Oh dear.
No, I'm wondering, what about petting a dog?
I don't want to talk about dogs.
Well, that's why I came to shear.
Dogs are complicated, right? What's the name of your dog? dogs are going to have to be a shear b'fnei atzmo. However, we have the Magen Mishnah, we have the Gra and the Mishnah, Brura Rabosai, who did not quote that distinction. between the goal, if it's the tzorach davar hamutar or tzorach davar hamotza, they say you're allowed to touch a mukta, period, unless it's round and wobbly. How do we paskin? So there are about four ramas who have different mashmoyos throughout Hilchas Mukta. I quoted for you a very nice summary or psak of Rav Pinchas Bandner in his fabulous English book, Hilchas Mukta, Tultulei Shabbos. This is from the footnotes, which are a wonderful, wonderful, it's a wonderful sefer. Ulinian halacha. Hayotze lanu, disrilei laharama, it's question all the other achron, but at least the Rama sounds like he holds, like our Rama. You remember our Rama? When our Rama introduced the halacha of touching mukta, what did he say? He said, you're allowed to touch mukta. He didn't say, only if it's a tzorach davar hamutar, not if it's a tzorach davar hamukta. He didn't say why. He said, you're allowed to touch mukta. The mutar lika b'mukta, afilu tzorach davar ha'asar, and that's the l'fi d'vrei mishnah brura, that's also the mechaber shita, l'fikach, mutar lika b'mukta. Of course, if it's going to wobble like an egg, then you can't. So that's the psak that he's coming out with. Again, what do we have? We have a machlokas achronim in Hilchas Rishonim also, in Hilchas Mukta. Lamaisa, it's an Issa D'Rabbanan, so you don't have to be the most machmir in the world. And therefore, we're going to come out that if you touch Mukta, as long as it won't wobble...
When I say both, I understand why they wouldn't just say...
You say you keep
it this or that. Right? I mean, I'm surprised they pick one or the other.
No, because you have to have one distinction between there's a case of an egg... And there's the other cases that you're allowed to touch. There's one reason to distinguish between them. One of them is right. Either the reason to distinguish is because the egg is dvar mukta and the other things are not mukta, or the reason you can't touch an egg is because it's wobbly and other things are not wobbly. One of those reasons is the reason you're mechalik. Not both. They are mutually exclusive because there's a svara to be mechalik, which is the right svara lechalik between these two cases. They are mutually exclusive. Conceptually, they're not, but in terms of to distinguish, if I have a steer, and there's one answer, whatever answers a steer, they're not both going to be right on the same one. Okay, so you're saying you want to be mach. You're a frumta. You're welcome to be frum if you want. And I'm not saying you have to be mayu. If you want to be frum, you can be frum. I'm saying you don't have to be, according to his psak. I want to finish right now with something that we're all going to enjoy very much. This is just the icing on the cake. We finished the halacha. Now just the icing on the cake, the lumdus. This is the candy, because we were all dedicated our morning to learning. You remember we had an Or Sameach a few weeks ago who said, why is it that once you have mukts in your hand, you're allowed to carry it to wherever you need to put it? So the Or Sameach said, because once it's in your hand, what's the whole reason why mukts is also in the first place? Rashi said, when you carry something, you might take it outside the Erev. So therefore, the Chazal wants you to be careful when you take something into your hands. Once you take it into your hand, you might carry it out of there. But if it's in your hand anyway for whatever heter reason, so there's no Akira, and you're never going to have an Akira and a Hanacha, it's never going to have a real Chil Shabbos. That was Or Sameach, not by us, but that was Or Sameach talking about why once something's in your hand, you're allowed to put it down wherever you want, in your basement, in your upstairs, in your drawer. Rabosai, that same Svara will apply here. Why are you allowed to touch Mukta? Because if the whole issur is that once it's in your hand, you're going to take it outside, when you're touching mukta, it's not in your hand, you're not taking it anywhere. So of course, the whole svara for chazal, the whole svara to asur mukta in its initial, in the very beginning, the whole reason why chazal made the issur called mukta in the first place, was that you might lift it up and take it out, once you're lifting it up and you might walk outside the Erev with it, you're not lifting it up, it's not in your hand, you're just touching it. And that svara is going to apply also to what we're going to do next week, which is blowing mukta, which again will be a longer discussion also, but the same story applies. You're not taking it in your hand. We don't have to be worried about an akira and a hanacha in the Isra of Hotzah. So I thought that's a fabulous svara that we could apply to our...
Worried about the
when you cover an egg with a kli, you're covering it, you're showing you're never going to move it, and still you're being careful that the egg shouldn't wobble.
Right. Why are you worried about the movement?
Who cares if it's moved?
I don't understand what it is. What's the problem with the wobble?
You're right.
Yeah. Like why is it movement? It's not movement.
You're right. Less likely to be mixing it.
You're right. I hear what you're saying. Yeah, you're saying that it is also, but let me rephrase it. Touching something in a way that there's no movement clearly can never come to a chutzah. When you touch something such that there could be movement, then we start to be worried. And I'll prove it to you, because what would happen if this is the threshold between the Erev and outside the Erev, and I touch this, I just violated chutzah. I pushed it out of the Erev. So you don't have to necessarily take it in your hands, the fact that something moves. But if I'm touching it and it's not moving, so then there's nothing to talk about. taken out.
You have been listening to a presentation of BensTorah.com.